حضرت مولانا محمد یعقوب صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ of the founder of Darul Deoband, or let us say amongst the founders, was also the Shaykh al-Hadith. He was also the Qutb of the time and one of the more important ustads of Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. People would question Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. We have written almost 1,000 kitabs. Then your research must have been very extensive. So many kitabs you must have referred to be able to write 1,000 kitabs. So he would say, no, I have just basically 3 kitabs that I have referred to. The one kitab was Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. The second kitab was Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And the third kitab was Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. I had the deepest regards for them, the respect for them, the love for them. And all what flowed out was because of that attachment and affinity that I had with these personalities. Knowledge and the deeper meanings of knowledge really is because of this attachment, respect. People feel that, you know, you've got so much of mutala and you have gone through so many kitabs, so you will have a deep understanding. But I feel convinced that it's folly to think like this, it's misleading to think like this. The truth of the knowledge and the essence of the knowledge comes in proportion to the respect that you show. Muhabbat, respect, regards. You can see this is something that is in keeping with respect, you will do it. It's in keeping with what my teachers and my elders would like, I will do it. So your elders feel happy with you. Maybe it is just of a permissible nature, but your elders are happy with you. And when that elder is happy with you, then that knowledge flows. But on some regards or the other, he is not happy with you. Though what you are doing and what you are practicing may be of a permissible nature. And I may say even of a mustahab nature. But that elder is not happy with you, then the deeper understanding of ilm doesn't come. You may get a superfluous, an artificial, a surface level of understanding, but the depth of that understanding doesn't come. So this comes when the senior of yours, that ustad, that whoever it may have been, he is quite impressed with you, he is happy with you. And you can see that it's a very open relationship. Just tell you what I want. So Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah was one of those senior people in Darul Uloom Deoband. And he was also the Qutb of the time. So you get these type of ratings. When a person progresses, then he gets a rating by Allah Ta'ala. And one of the ratings that he gets is he's posted to certain positions. So you get a rating in Taqween and you get a rating in Irshad. Irshad refers to a dini rating. A rating, some type of progress that the person will experience in dini matters. Right. So in dini matters, people will take instruction from him, they'll take the cue from him, they'll feel that type of satisfaction and conviction in his answers. So that's an indication that he is at that level now, that he is the Qutb of the time, Qutb of Irshad. It means in dini things, people feel quite comfortable, they're satisfied, they feel very convinced with his answers. Now Allah Ta'ala blesses this to whomsoever He wants. One person comes to Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi whilst Maulana is in Saharanpur. So whilst he's there, this person asks Maulana, you know, people are very unruly. And they're unruly, and you know, I want to call up a big conference and get all these differences ironed out for once and for all. So Maulana Arab must have asked him, alright, what are the differences that you are faced with that you want to call a conference and end the whole thing up? He says, you know, that you have written the kitab Besties Ever, and there are some masails there that people are talking about. They're making it a great issue. Like what, for example, says, no, man is married to so-and-so woman, and they're living at a distance, at a great distance that they're living. And in spite of the distance that they are living, a child is born. So the child will be counted as a legitimate child, in spite of the distance. Unless the father rejects it. If the father doesn't reject the child, then the child will be counted as his child, he will be counted as legitimate. So he says, people are finding it very difficult to accept this. So therefore, I would like to know what are the reasonings so that we can have a big conference, thousands of people gather together and get all these things ironed out. So Maulana asked him, alright, what I want to know from you is, you found this masla in Besties Ever and you say you don't know the reason for this, right? So you haven't understood the masla, or you didn't understand the reasoning. One is the masla itself and one is the reasoning behind it. So no, I understood the masla, but I didn't understand the reasoning that goes with it. So Maulana asked him, alright, in the Besties Ever there are approximately 6,000 masail, right? Have you understood the reasoning behind all those 6,000 masail? He said, no. So Maulana says, alright, just include this also in that. You didn't understand the reasoning behind the 6,000, so this masla that you're asking is included into that. Maulana says, it was lucky that he said, yes, I don't understand the reasoning. Because if he dare said that I understand the reasoning, then I would ask him one masla. What is the reasoning for this and what was the reasoning for this? And I would count on him, because I know all the arguments that go with the masla. When I know the arguments that go with the masla, that I would have count answered him. So he then asked Maulana, but what's wrong in showing this? What's wrong in explaining? So Maulana asked him, alright, is this a suggestion or a demand? So Maulana, how can I demand? He said, no, it's just a suggestion. He said, alright, that's your suggestion, and I don't agree. You have got the right to give a suggestion, I have got a right to accept or reject, so I don't agree. Now the person went silent. So he sat down there, he doesn't know, outwardly a very educated person, very influential, and now when he's silenced like this, now he doesn't know what to say. So he said, alright, now the time is up, I think you can leave. Packed him away. Some other senior ulama that were there, that knew this person here, they say, Ma, you know what, in 3 minutes you silence the person. For a couple of good days he's been eating our brains, and we couldn't find a satisfactory answer to give it to him. You know? And in 3 minutes, you silence him. Now that normally is an indication of a kutubul irshad, that he will level it, he will give a satisfactory answer, and people will find satisfaction, they will find satisfaction and ease in his answers. Right? So that's an indication. Allah Ta'ala inspires his heart. and with ease, like just a cool breeze, you will just answer the thing. So easily you will do it. So this Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullahi, I say, there are two types of khidmat. One is irshad, that relates to the deen, management or administration of deeni affairs. So the deeni administration, generally the people will refer to him and they'll find the type of satisfaction. So that's an indication that Allah Pak has selected him. Then you will get a second category of shaykh that is known as the Qutubul Taqween. Qutubul Taqween is more or less like the work of the Malaika. Malaika, they are in charge of some of the administration of the world, right? Right. So they will make dua, and on account of the dua, some people need rain, so they will get rain. Right? Some people are suffering in their businesses, they make dua, their business will start working out. So that's an indication of a Qutubut Taqween. So that's their work. Things that are related to dunyawi matters. Connected to dunyawi matters, so that's called a Qutubut Taqween. Normally the plan of Allah Ta'ala is, when a person is going up, he reaches to a certain position of piety and righteousness. When he hits that mark, then Allah Ta'ala uses him for some other khidmat. Sometimes he uses him for some khidmat. The khidmat, sometimes it's about deen, sometimes it's about dunyawi affairs, and sometimes he doesn't position him to any khidmat. Not to deen and not to dunyawi matters. He's not positioned to any position. But he is also accepted equally to the Qutubut Taqween or Qutubul Irshad. It doesn't mean that he's not posted to one of these positions, that he's got no acceptance in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. He's got acceptance. But in spite of his acceptance, he doesn't have any such position. People now feel, I became pious now, when that Qutub will come, when that Dal will come, I'll become a rose, all these things that they generally people wonder. But Tamir Sahib gives a very important note. He says, after years and years, Allah Pak has inspired me with this knowledge. It's just a three-line knowledge, but years of difficulty and exertion, this knowledge has been blessed. I've been blessed with this inspiration. He says, see, in fi'alat ke piche na chalo. Don't go behind experiences, you know, what experience I had, what dream I saw. And don't look for any type of spiritual experience as the goal. You got it, alhamdulillah, shukr. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're appreciative, you're grateful. But don't go behind it, right? Like, it's food, right? So it was very good food, alhamdulillah. But now don't make it a goal. I must have this type of food, that type of finishing, and that type of topping, then I'll eat. So it came, alhamdulillah. So you won't have a fight with anybody, you won't have a run-in with your wife, you'll be running smoothly. So in deeni matters also, these experiences, if you don't go through the experience, don't pine for it, don't ask for it, don't demand, and don't even long and yearn for this type of experiences. Right? For what you need to be focusing is amal, not infial. Deeds, works, this is the thing that you're supposed to be running towards. And as far as infial and these type of experiences, then after death you will experience it yourself. You will see the underworld, real underworld you will see. After that, just let the death come and you will see all these things here. Now, this is where people go off, they want to see what's happening. How this happens and how that happens, what he does. When you met any of these type of people. This week one person was here from France. So he's doing a PhD in Ayurveda. He studied all these things here. And strangely, all these, they in that universities, but they teach them all these things on tasawuf and all that. So then when they teach them, they want to go and experience it. So I told him, see, with your studying, you're not going to experience this. You have to go through this. You have to go through it, and then it's the decision of Allah Ta'ala whether He selects you for any type of khidmat. But now you feel, now I study the thing, now Allah must push me straight away. as the kutub, as a rose, etc. That could happen. And I was surprised the amount of kitabs he was quoting and the ibarats that he was talking about. All that he was talking about, and he knew his stuff. He was talking right. He wasn't talking something off. So he did the right type of study. But yet he was in a state of confusion. He doesn't know. So I told him, see, you're off the mark. You're off the mark. He's inviting me. I was come there and got a house there, a palatial home. He's coming. So I said, I'm going to go there and do what? I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do? Go there, sit in front of the beach, admire, and then what? Yeah, the beach to hamare nazdeek hai, is qadar qareeb hai. It's just around the corner, you can see the beach, or the same thing. What you'll see there, you'll see here. You'll see water, you'll see sand, you'll see some shells. Perhaps if you're lucky, you'll see some dolphins. You'll see here, you'll see it there as well. So no, you know, you must have heard, he's based in France, but he's got some homes in Reunion as well. So he said, you must have heard about our notorious beaches. What's so notorious? You know, it's shark infested. Just 2 meters away from the shore and you get sharks. So he said, now people feel that it is a curse. I said, no, I think I'm convinced that it is a blessing. He got shocked. I say, sharks just from 2 meters from the shore and you say it's a blessing. I said, yeah. So it's because of the sharks here, that women don't have to come with the bikinis. They got so many of them are safe from haram and all that. Why? Because of the fear of sharks. If that thing was smooth and very, very comfortable, very enjoyable, all of them would have got involved in haram. Now that thing is shark infested, so stay out, keep out. So then I explained to him, see, the essence of ibadat. What is the essence of ibadat? ادعوا ربكم تضرعا وخفيا. When the word ud'u and dua comes in the Quran Sharif, then it can have a whole host of meanings. It doesn't have to mean only making dua. It could mean ibadat, it could mean zikr, it could mean dua. And when you call on your Rabb, like in namaz you're calling on your Rabb, right? In dua you're calling on your Rabb. Remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, reading the names of Allah Ta'ala or zikr, then you're calling on your Rabb. But when you're calling on Allah Ta'ala, then how are you supposed to be calling on Him? تَدَرُّعًا وَخُفْيَا. Everything has a protocol, everything has a procedure. You follow the procedure, it goes right. You are applying for a passport, right? So they give you some application forms, some procedures you have to follow. You follow the procedure, at the end they give you the passport. But you make a noise outside the offices, no, people are prejudiced, you don't want to give me a passport. Why? Did you follow the procedure? If you didn't follow the procedure, then why do you make this type of demands? So the same in the acceptance of Allah Ta'ala's, in Allah Ta'ala's acceptance, what is required? You follow a procedure. You follow the procedure, Allah Pak will give it to you. You don't follow the procedure and you want Allah Pak to bless you, then how is it going to happen? So in the procedure, He requires two things. You must meet two criteria for the acceptance. One is tadarru. Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, rahmatullahi, says, and I traveled this whole path, you know, this path that is leading to Allah Ta'ala. From the beginning to the end, the whole path I've traversed the whole thing. I saw the ins and the outs, the highs and the lows. I seen everything by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. He was the same Buzrug for whom that hand had come out from the Rose Mubarak, right? So he says, traversed the whole path and I've seen the ups and the downs. And I found the most effective thing in gaining the proximity and the acceptance of Allah Ta'ala is the same aspect of tadarru. And this tadarru, what does it refer to? The feeling of nothingness, non-entity, helpless, desperation. And Allah Pak confirms it in this verse of the Quran. Amma yujibul muttarra. Am I not the person that will answer the person that is in desperation? But you ask him and you call him with a feeling of desperation. Not just, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa rahmatullahi. That's a routine. That's not calling on Allah Ta'ala. That you're just going through a motion. one of the motions, you have to go through this. It's a motion. You're not really desperate. Like a person that is appearing in a play, right? So he's pretending to be crying. When he's pretending to be crying, now you know he's pretending. If you at the rehearsal and you know he's just pretending, he's just an act, you're not going to get emotional about it. Will you get emotional? He's just putting up an act. Because you know that he's putting up an act, you won't feel affected at all, right? So how you want Allah Ta'ala to answer you when you are just doing it as a routine? But you're doing with desperation, then that is the moment of acceptance. Amma yujibul muttarra idha da'a. So you ask, and you ask with desperation. Ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an. In this tadarru, this is about three things. One is desperation. What do you mean? What do you mean by desperation? Desperation means, like, imagine a person to be in the center of the ocean, right? And he can't send a signal to anybody. In the meanwhile, he's in turbulent waters, absolutely turbulent waters he is in, and he can't reach up to anybody. In any way, he can't reach up. Not an SOS, not an SMS, nothing. He can't reach, can't access anybody. Imagine he's in the middle of the ocean, and he can't reach, can't access anybody. So at that time, when he's going to be asking Allah Ta'ala, in what frame of mind he's going to ask Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala, you're the only recourse. Allah Ta'ala, you're the only sanctuary. Allah Ta'ala, you are my refuge. I have no other refuge. The Quran is bearing this out in two places. Amma yujibul muttarra. And the second Surah Yunus, وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. They're absolutely convinced now that the only sanctuary is by Allah Ta'ala. وَظَنُّوا أَنَّوْا لَا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. So when they reached this point, then Allah Ta'ala said, ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Then did we focus towards them. See, so this is that level that Allah Ta'ala wants from you. That level of desperation, that level where you feel you are a total non-entity. You feel you are helpless. You feel you are absolutely nothing. In that frame of mind, when you're going to ask Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala likes it. He appreciates this. Someone asked me this week, but we know everything is in taqdeer now. Alright, we read our namaz now. So why must we exert ourselves? Why must we exert ourselves? We're going on that path now. We'll get, it's taqdeer now. We'll get into Jannat. So I asked him, what are you doing? So I've got a business. How big is it? 50 shops I've got. So 50 business. 50. So why are you exerting yourself? It's in taqdeer. If you are going to get, you will get. But why are you exerting yourself? 50 shops and each shop must be doing this type of sales and all that. Why are you doing that? So now must make effort also. So now here also you must make effort. Now the answers are in your mind, but you will not apply those answers. Surprise, you know, intelligent, in dunya matters, they're very intelligent. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. The running of the affairs of the world, they are bright, they can understand. But then apply the same brains in deen, they can't apply it. It just closes up. In taqdeer, now I must exert myself, making so much of ibadat, and tahajjud, and awwabin, and Quran Sharif, and all. Why must we exert ourselves? But then that same analogy, do you apply it on your dunya also? Listen, dunya is a different thing. But doesn't that come also under the ambit of taqdeer? If this comes under taqdeer, that also comes under taqdeer. Here you exert yourself, can't you be exerting yourself here? So tadarru'an. Ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an. We're talking of Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullahi, and we just branched off, right? So I said, he was both the Kutubul Irshad and Kutubul Taqween. And I explained to you what was this these two words all about, right? Sometimes we hear this, and we want to hear some of the experiences. So one person comes up to him, old man, and says, my son is in a trial, court trial, right? And it's, you know, they may imprison him for life. So, Muhammad said, alright. And you make dua for Mr. Right? What do you do? You see, the street here in Deoband, you go right at the end of the street, you will find one tree there. So you just wait for me, at that point. Around this time, on this day, just under the tree, you just wait for me. So anyway, this person is waiting there under the tree. And meanwhile, he sees one old chacha coming in with a bundle of wood. So Muhammad Yaqub Sahib is telling this old chacha that, isko chhod do, bhai. Leave this person. This person, just leave him. So the old man is saying, nahi chhodte. Very adamantly, very strongly saying, very firmly, nahi chhodte. We're not going to leave him. So Muhammad told him, for the second time, isko chhodo. Again he says, no, nahi chhodte. Not leaving him. So acha nahi chhodte, you're not leaving him. So he's sitting on open ground, so he flattened the soil. As he flattened the soil, and he began to write something. When he began to write, now this old man is saying, acha humne chhod diya. Now we left the person. Anyway, in a day's time, the court had ruled that this person, he's acquitted of all charges, and we throw the case out. Now he's asking more, but I don't understand. I came to you for dua. And you saying chordo, ni chordo, and then you start writing something on the ground and all that. I don't understand all this business here. What happened exactly? So what I explained to him, you see, this old chacha was the kutub of this area. Right? So I told him, make dua, that this case must follow. We spoke in a code language, right? Let's drop the case. And he said, no, nature, we're not dropping the case. And as I saw that he wasn't dropping the case, so I said, alright, he is in charge, but there is one above him. You know, you have one, you have a police, then you have a commissioner of police, a superintendent. So I saw now this person is not giving in, so I went to the superintendent, the one above. So I was writing up to him. When I wrote up to him, that person instructed this person in that split second, bhai, isko choro. So that's that underworld, right? There's some business that they're doing, and they're doing it in a different way. It's all duas, right? It's not that they control. The control is Allah Ta'ala, but Allah Ta'ala accepts their duas. 1947, April 14, was the partition of India-Pakistan, right? And Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullahi, as I say, this was his work. So this was his work. So he says already in advance, at least a good couple of years before it could happen, Muhammad said, you know what? Saf lipat gaya. The mat is rolled. The mat has rolled. And he says, raat ko soyenge, ek hukumat mein aur subah ko uthenge dusri hukumat mein. They will go to sleep, people will go to sleep in one hukumat, they will go to sleep under one government, and they will wake up the following morning in a different government. One thing he said. The second thing he says, and this will be around the time people will be eating achar, you know? So that means green mangoes will be just coming up, and that will be broken and people will be eating it as achar and chundo and all that, right? And if you look at India, you find April, May is the season, right? The heat. So in May, June, you'll get the mango ripening, and in April, just the green ones coming out. So they make achar, they make chutney and all that of that. So exactly as he said, as we're eating that mango achars and all that, we slept without any concern. The morning we hear, now there's a partition between India and Pakistan, the British has gone. This is Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullahi. Give me some stories about these people here and the underworld, what they do, right? One day Allah Pak showed him that there is going to be some type of a plague that will break out in Deoband, and it can be disastrous, people can die in that thing. So anyway, he pleaded to Allah Ta'ala that some amal we will do, Allah Ta'ala just forgive us, and that plague must be moved away. So he made the dua, and Allah Ta'ala showed him, alright, what should be done is that from every food article, everything that is edible, or every item you've got, wealth, food, whatever clothing, whatever you've got, whether it be it food, be it clothing, be it wealth, give some portion in sadaqah. Then this whole calamity will be moved out, be turned away. Now, these mashayikh, this busuganadeen, they have an excessive love for the creation of Allah Ta'ala. Made the dua, and dua got answered, you'll do this and everything. So he made an announcement, whatever you've got, whether it's wealth, whether it's your food articles, whether it's your clothing, some of it, just give it out in sadaqah. This whole calamity that is directed to Dioban will be moved away. So one bright spark, one affluent person now, bright spark in Dioban, said, yeah, it looks like the madrasa is in constraints financially, you know. Because his madrasa is in financial constraint, therefore they're saying this. Anyway, said this. Now this type of comments come in, they come back, you know. Goes around and comes. Now Mu'ad got wind about it, that this is what this person said. So Mu'ad was disturbed for that moment, and then he looked up towards the sky, and then he says, Yaqub, or Yaqub ke gharwale, or sare Dioban. Yaqub, or Yaqub ke gharwale, or sare Dioban. Yaqub, and the family of Yaqub, and the whole of Dioban. And meanwhile, next, if you see Chatta Masjid, one room is Yaqub Sahib, the next room next to it, adjacent, one Abid Hussain Sahib. And both are the founders of Madrasa Darul Dioban, right? So when this Hafiz Abid Hussain Sahib, when he heard this, he came out, darted out of his room, shocked, you know. And he's saying, well, Raham Karo, Raham Karo, what are you saying? Show some consideration, what are you saying? So when he said that to Mawlana, I said, what did I say? So this is what you said. Said, well, now that it has come out of my tongue, it's going to happen now. And then it was hardly any few days that some plague broke out. And this house, five people died here. There 10 janazas are going out. Here 2 janazas are going out. All Dioban wiped out. In that whole thing, Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullah also fell ill. He was taken to his town, Nanota, and he passed away there. See, the underworld, some of their business, some of their operations. One person came to Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah. He says, I want to see this, you know. What goes on? Some of the operation, students want to hear all these things, exciting, they want to see things. So Mu'ad told him, what you do is Jama Masjid Delhi, look at the eastern gate. On this entrance, right, we'll find a person. He's selling some watermelons. It's summer now, so he'll be selling some sort of watermelon. He'll be sliced and he'll be selling. So you go and see him. He is one of the abdals, right? Ordinary person doing some work here. What he's selling? He's selling watermelons. So the student, as he got the particulars, he went up straight. Around that time, he saw this person here selling watermelon. He thought, now is Allah wala now. Let me take advantage. So he took half of it, said, yeah, pika. It's got no taste, bland now. Give me another one. Gave another one. Until he finished the whole watermelon, he finished. So he said, now, this person is that person. I feel it's confirmed. Anyway, the student says to Abdulaziz Sahib Rahmatullah, now I want to see the Abdallah. I said, go to the same place and you'll find a person, perhaps he's selling water now. In the summer now, he's selling cool water. So you go to the same place, you'll find him. So now, he went to that same person there. He saw he's got some water cooler bag and he's selling water. Took a sip. And then he says to this person, hey, there's some sand particles here. Throw this away and give me another one. So that person gave him one slap and he says, Tum samajhte ho ki main tarbuj wala hu. Wo to zamana gaya. You think I'm the person of the watermelon? That time is gone now. I took his place. I brought it to Shah Sahib. Shah Sahib said, Acha, now I understand. See, when that first Abdal was in charge of Delhi, the administration was all going off. Now it's replaced, that everything is working in order. So they got certain works to do, they got certain administration to handle. This is their work, Kutubul Irshad, and you get a Kutubul Takween. Both have got some works. Right? But don't run behind these things here. I explained, this person came for the PhD, says, I told him, see, in this party you'll find a lot of shows, a lot of things to see. In our simple words, you say a lot of bioscope you'll get, right? But don't fall for this thing here. Or dreams, or for some experiences, don't fall into it. Just take it like as though you are going for Hajj and Ziyarat, right? Or the Umrah and Hajj you're going for. And en route, we have to go through Dubai Airport, right? To go to Dubai Airport. But Dubai Airport is just by the way. What is your actual purpose is to go for Hajj and Ziyarat. That's your actual purpose. So say for example, the plane made a mistake. It went straight to Jeddah and you got to start off your Hajj and all that, or your Tawaf and your Umrah and all that. One day in advance, you'll be very excited. MashaAllah, I was supposed to be coming here one day or 2 days later, but I came one day earlier. Alhamdulillah. But now if some person is not in the right frame of his mind, and he says, you know what, he bypassed this whole Dubai and all that, and you know, I was supposed to go shopping there and all that. And yeah, you know, I was supposed to be going there. So he's stressing about this. So you see, he lost the plot. By the actual purpose was Tawaf, Umrah and Ziyarat. This was by the way. It came, it didn't come, not a problem. That was not the goal. That was not what we were targeting. That was not what we are after. This is something by the way. The actual plot was this thing here, right? So the same happens with all these experiences. It's just by the way. If you had those experiences, one of those things. If you didn't have those experiences, also alright. You're comfortable. As long as you got to make your tawaf, you got to make your hajj, you got to make your ziyarat, etc. That was the actual thing that you had intended. When you got to the thing that you intended, alhamdulillah. Don't make this as the criteria. Don't make this as your goal. Don't make this as the benchmark. You will go totally off and confused. Now this self-studies and all that, this is what it takes you into the tasawwuf, and you are doing it yourself. Study it yourself, and you think, now I'm going to study it myself, I will get there. You get more and more confused, complicated, what this is referring to. Then he asked me again, you know about the other silsilas? I said, well, a little bit I know about the other silsilas. So then he's asking now, what about the Naqshbandiya? Are they the best or... what's this whole thing about? You did the PhD and all that, but still doesn't know this thing. Confused mind. So I told him, see, by the grace of Allah, Ta'ala, put the answer in my mind. It is just a different vehicle. This is traveling with SAA, you are traveling with Dubai, Emirat, you are traveling with Saudi. So it's just a different mode of transport. But every transport is going to take you to the same goal. Whether it is Saudi Airlines, whether it is Dubai, whether it is SAA, all are going to take you to the same place. So don't stress about this thing here, that why the Naqshbandiya is doing this, and why they are doing this, and why they are doing that. So you don't have to stress about it. That is not what you are achieving. That's not the thing that you desire. That's not the thing that you must intend. That's not the thing that you treat as your goal. It is just a vehicle. The vehicle is supposed to take you to a certain goal. You jump onto the vehicle, it will take you there. See? Now when you do this type of self-studies and all that, you come across one statement, one type of experience, he's doing this and he's doing that. And then in the whole thing, you get confused. So I explained to him, see that, Ud'u Rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya. The whole essence of ibadat is this tadarru, desperation. And this feeling of desperation must be all the time. Not just at selected moments, all the time. Your nazar, your focus is just to Allah Ta'ala. Your gaze is just locked onto Him. Not that at the times when you are in constraints, then you are asking Allah Ta'ala. And in times of prosperity, then you are running around everywhere, Disney World, you forgot Allah Ta'ala. for what is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, everything is forgotten. So when we come back, then we will get back into ibadah. So this feeling of desperation must be a continuous thing all the time. Whether you are at home, whether with your family, whether it's a holiday, whether it is no holiday at any given time. But that is the feeling that is supposed to be a constant thing. Because it's a relationship with Allah Ta'ala. And the relationship with Allah Ta'ala can't be fluctuating. It needs to be a constant thing. Not a fluctuating relationship at all times. Like a husband and a wife relationship is a continuous relationship. They want that type of response. And you want also some type of response. You want some type of response. They want some type of response. Then you say it's a good relationship. It's good understanding. It's a happy home. It's a good home. But if it is that once in a week you're already coming in, and the 6 days you're not coming in, you're not showing the love and all that, it's not a good home. So you want a consistent plan. And then who can be more deserving of a consistent plan than Allah Ta'ala Himself? So you see, when you ask Allah Ta'ala, then with this tadarru, with this humility, with the feeling of nothingness, with the feeling of desperation, right? With the feeling that you don't deserve anything, whatever comes is just His favor. But this must be all the time, at any given time. And sometimes Allah Ta'ala stretches you a little bit because He likes your tears, He likes your crying. Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah explains this in a different way, in a story format. Because in a story format, you generally tend to understand it more easily. As though the malaika were complaining to Allah Ta'ala that this person here, you answered his dua so quickly. That person there, you're leaving him in the lurch. He's in suspense. You're holding him on the rope. And you see how much he is serving you. He is dedicated. He is crying. Right? He's in sakarat. He's coming up again. Again he's dipping. Again he's coming up. But now he's asking you all the time. And then he is left in suspense. That person here, he hardly comes to you nicely, properly and correctly. But he came and you answered him and he's gone. So the malaika are complaining to Allah Ta'ala. And this person is in suspense. So much of difficulty, crying. The problem that he's going through, constraints that he's going through, his heart is broken. Right? The hopes that he had, all those hopes are dashed. Right? So Allah Ta'ala, what is the reason? This person here, you left him in this suspense, this difficulty, this problem, he's crying all the time. And this person here, one shot he came in, you answered him and you sent him away. So he says, you see, Malaika, Allah commanded the Malaika, go back to the earth, right? And you'll see in human habitats, where human habitations are, you will see they've got something in the cages, you know. Go see what's happening there. So they came and they see now in the cages they've got exotic birds, colorful, beautiful. People are feeding them well, taking good care of them. If they need a vet's supervision, they're taking it to a vet, etc. They're spending a lot of wealth on that. So Allah Ta'ala is asking those malaika, but see, don't these people love those parrots or those exotic birds that they have got? Yeah, they love them to bits. They pay thousands for them, maintain them, to take them to doctors, this type of food, this type of meals. So Allah Pak then asked them, alright, if they love them so much, then why they keep them locked in those cages? So the Malaika did the whole survey, they did the whole homework, and they said, no, they like that because of two reasons. One is the colors, and one is the singing in the morning and the evening, the chirping and the singing. So they like their crying, they like their chirping, they like the colors, so therefore they keep them caged. And then there are those birds that are wild, they're not worried about them, give them a few danas. If they come to the home, some old bread, they give it to them and they are gone back. This one here, they love them. And they love them to bits. So they pay thousands for them and they keep them encaged. So exactly the same. This person here, well, he doesn't belong to the house. When he doesn't belong to the house, he comes, we just give him something and send him away. He doesn't belong to the fraternity. He doesn't belong to the club. Came a little bit and we sent him away. A wealthy person and a poor person both went out for Hajj, you see. the wealthy person is taunting the poor. He said, you know, I told you at home that this Hajj and this Ziyarat and Umrah, etc., is for the wealthy, not for the poor. Like, can you see the difficulty that you're going through? You have to do your things yourself, and the distance that you have to travel and walk from the home to the Baytullah, and from the Baytullah back to the home. So all the difficulty that you're incurring. So the poor, he says to the wealthy, he says, well, you didn't understand the whole design of Allah Ta'ala, the plan of Allah Ta'ala, you haven't understood it. See, hum to ghar wale hai. Hum to ghar ke hai. You are the people of the house. Tum to mehman hai. You are a guest. Like how, when there's a wedding, right? In a wedding or a walima, one is ghar wale. The ghar wale, they eat at the end, whatever is left over, they will eat all that. Mehman ko khila karke bhej dete. Mehman came, we feed them and we send them away. So they are strangers. And these people are the people of the house. So we are the people of the house, we go through difficulty, you all enjoy yourselves. We'll come and go, our hearts are here all the time. We don't like to be miskeen, huh? We don't like to be poor, isn't it? But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's dua is, Allahumma ahini miskeena wa amitni miskeena. Though we don't have that wealth, but we have that behavior of the miskeen. Desperation, weak, meek. We don't be proud, we don't be arrogant, we don't show an attitude. Now these are the things that Allah Pak likes. This is the thing that ushers you into the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. As the Shaykh Saadi Rahmatullahi, he says, now this type of battle carries on. Now we're just saying this to clear the mind. Wealthy and the poor, both are having it out, you know. My father is greater than your father. And my business is better than your business. And carried on for some time. Al-haakumut takasturu hatta zurtumul maqabir. The mutual rivalry in the piling of wealth, right, has diverted you from the real goals. Right? The mutual rivalry of piling up of wealth diverts you from your real goals. Until you go to the Qabristan. Until you hit the grave, this rivalry carries on. It doesn't end. So the poor is catching it from the wealthy. Wealthy says, see my father, and what he did, and what achievements he's got to his credit. And your father, see, he doesn't even have a proper grave. Can't even see. He's just a number in the Qabristan. And see my father's graveyard. He got a tombstone, name, all details, everything. See how beautiful it looks. See the plants, and see the work that's around it. The tombstone and the marble stones that are all around it. Look at all that. So the poor person is telling that wealthy, but you missed everything, man. You lost everything. You know, they say democratic right. Poor also knows he's got a right to speak. So his democratic right he is exercising. He said, you see, on the day of Qiyamah, when Israfil al-Islam will blow the trumpet, right? And all will have to come out of the graves and march towards the Maidan al-Hashar, right? See, my father, all he need to do is just dust the sand off, and he's already by Allah Ta'ala, he's gone to Jannah. Your father is still removing the tombstones. Well, he said it in a joke, but it's a reality. It's a reality. The more you got, the more the baggage. The more the baggage, the more difficult the custom. The immigration is going to be more difficult. You came with 20 baggages, the immigration is going to be more difficult. Come on, small suitcase, by go. Wasting time here. Move on. So this, Allah likes this. I don't mean to run anybody down here. But just to explain this concept, right? What Allah likes. What Allah likes. What attracts his attention. What was the dua of Nabi Sallam? Allahumma ahini miskina wa amitni miskina wa ahshurni fi zumratil masakin. Nabi Sallam is advising Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha, love the poor. Keep them close to you. Allah Pak will love you. When you're going to take a liking for this class of people, then you will be humble, you'll be approachable, you'll be accessible, you'll be easygoing. But if you've got a people that have got attitude, etc., then you will build that attitude. You know, I got no time for you. I can't talk to you. Admiral Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, look at these people here, look at their lives, right? Maulana Noor Muhammad Sahib, he saw, alright, some guests, and Maulana showed them the respect. And some new student came in, right? Now the new student's food arrangements weren't done properly. When the new student's food arrangements weren't done properly, so this Maulana Noor Muhammad Sahib, he's a murid, right? But our mashayikh and our buzuganadeen, you know, I feel so confident of them. We can't be proud, but we feel so confident of them. He's a murid, an honorary person. He comes to Maulana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. He says to Maulana that only these guests have a right. These poor students don't have a right. That you honored them, you've seen to their food, etc. And this poor student here that came in, he doesn't have a right that you should feed him with respect as well. So Maulana's head went down straight away like this. And then he says, immediate response, he says, Waqi mere se galati ho gayi. Really, I have made a mistake. Inshallah, you'll never see this again. Inshallah, you'll never see this again. I have stumbled, I have made a mistake. And I will now show them the same respect, in fact, more respect than I show to any other guest. Because these people are the guests of Nabi Sassam. When they are due for Rahman, then I need to show respect to them to that level. As a result, after that, Maulana's whole approach changed. One correction, and then one correction from an ordinary murid. The murid says, you know, I don't know what overcame me, and I just blurted those words out. And I felt so embarrassed at how a great buzuk like this, at that level, and I'm telling him something like this. But Maulana's response, I was totally startled by how Maulana responded, you know, an ordinary poor student, like a convert, ordinary student, but you were supposed to be showing the same amount of respect that you show this person here. Why was it that this person came in and you showed him the respect, but you didn't show that respect to the student? Anyway, Maulana's whole approach changed after that. His approach changed. Then they noticed Maulana has got some wealthy guests coming in. So the dastarkhan was laid. Maulana Yahya Sahib Rahmatullah normally was in charge of the dastarkhan, so he put on the dastarkhan, the food is laid. Now the Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullah, he came from a very wealthy background. But when he came and he saw what is deen all about, he fought all that. He preferred a life of austerity and simplicity. Though he had tons of wealth before. After that, he said, it's not worth the while running after this. This is not the goal in life. So very simple life. His clothing also should be very simple. In the meanwhile, there's a Nawab that's coming here. So he's come in that splendor of a Nawab. When he's come in a splendor of a Nawab, so everything has been laid out for him. Maulana realized that I'm not so well dressed. So when I'm not so well dressed, perhaps this wealthy person will feel uncomfortable with my presence. So the Shaykh Linnit sneaked away, moved away, gracefully just moved away. When he moved away, Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah perceived that he is getting up and moving away. So Mauli Mahmood Hasan, tum kyun nahi baithte? So he just covered up and he said, Hazrat, hum baad mein apna intizam khana ka kar lenge. We'll eat later on. Let the guests and all eat. We'll eat later on. Maulana understood. Maulana was very smart, very sharp, immediately understood. So he says to him, agar is mehman ko, if this guest, aapke saath baith karke khane mein usko nagawari hoti hai, if he feels uncomfortable sitting with people like you, right, sitting with people like us and yourself, then wo apna khane ka intizam aur jagah ja karke kar le. He must go and make his food arrangements elsewhere. Baki aapka aur hamara marne jeene ka saath hai. We don't have a relationship of 1 day or 2 days. We got a relationship of life and death. We can't part, even with death, we'll be together, inshallah. The amount of comfort, consolation it brought to the Shaykh Ulind Rahmatullahi, Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullahi says, the marna jine saath, our living and our dying is together. Our dying and our living is together. We are both on the same page. He doesn't like it, he can carry on his own thing. But we are not going to separate you because of him. He can go, he can find himself, to make his own arrangements, but we can't leave you. She is Amma Yujibul Muttarra, what Allah Pak likes. Ud'u Rabbakum Tadarru'an wa Khufya. With desperation, absolute desperation, that's what Allah Pak likes. Whether it's in our ibadat, whether it's in our zikr, whether it's in our tilawat, whether it's in our dua, but this feeling of desperation. So this feeling of desperation will bring about another feature. The second feature that it will bring is khufya. You're doing it with softly. Allah, please. Make it happen, Allah. Make it happen, Allah. So you are convinced that you are not worthy of acceptance. You are convinced that it is just His grace that will cover you, right? It is not your goodness. It's not your piety. It is not your virtue. It is nothing of you. It is just His grace. His grace that will shower you, will enshroud you, and will take you in, will admit you into His mercy. That is His grace. So he's so convinced about it, so convinced, so certain about it. So when he's going to be at that level of conviction, he'll be talking to Allah Ta'ala, but humbly. Like Hazrat Maulana Ganguly Sahib Rahmatullah. So he had that. Perhaps in the admin for that day, he made a mistake. That he forgot the student and he thought about the guest. Right? But because he had that maskanat in him, that feeling of desperation, that feeling of meekness and weakness, that feeling that we are desperate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. So when that correction was brought by an ordinary person, immediately his head goes on like this. He didn't get upset with that person. He says to him, "Mere galati ho gaya. I have made a mistake. And you will never see this again." And Mu'ad kept to his word after that. See. So sometimes we go off the mark, our nazar moves away. Ye hamara kaam ko banayega, aur ye hamara kaam ko banayega. This person here, he will see us right, and this person here will see us right. Really what happens is that nazar of Allah Ta'ala turns away. When your eyes are fixed on a person, then that help of Allah Ta'ala turns away. Alright, your eyes are on him now. Let's see how far you'll go. That's what Allah Ta'ala will say. Let's see how far you'll go. In a moment Allah Ta'ala turns his heart away from you. Now you're in constraint now. His heart has been turned away from you. Now you in Sakrat, I was thinking that this person here is with us and he will support this, right? And he's turned away. It's your problem. Why did you focus upon a person? Why not on Allah Ta'ala? When the constitution of Darul Diyoban was being written, you know. So at that time, Darul Diyoban was very famous. Up till now, alhamdulillah, the grace of Allah Ta'ala is very famous. Allah Ta'ala continues his reigns of mercy upon the madrasa staff and all those that are connected, and all those that are the well-wishers. So some people came and offered properties, standing properties. It's a standing income, and this thing will generate for the madrasa. It's all dedicated to the madrasa. So Mawlana Qasim Naruddin, he was the founder of the madrasa. He said, no, you keep your property yourself. Whenever you want, you donate. You can't, but when you want to give, you can give. But I'm giving you a standing property, thousands it will yield, millions it will yield, you will see to all your requirements. Mawlana says, no. Can you give an explanation why? So Mawlana says, see, we don't have any standing income, then our nazar is in Allah Ta'ala. Our sight is in Allah Ta'ala. We'll cry, we'll go to the musalla, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. And this is the thing that brings about that acceptance. We'll cry, we show desperation, we show our weakness and inability. There may be some mistakes here and there, we are correcting ourselves. So this will draw the attention of Allah Ta'ala. But the day our eyes are set on that property, that this thing here will bring that income, then the nazar is turned away from Allah Ta'ala onto that property. So we're not going to cry, we're not going to ask Allah Ta'ala, we're not going to show desperation, we're not going to show any of our humility. And when we're not going to show that, then that sight of Allah Ta'ala will turn away. Then this thing you can't show the type of results. It'll show the results when you're going to be turning to Allah Ta'ala, crying to Him, showing desperation, weakness and inability. This is what he says, Amma yujibul muttarra. Am I not the person that answers the person that is in desperation? Allah Ta'ala.